Welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to the sun has come up now three, four, five, even maybe even six consecutive days after the Armageddon that was the Northwestern loss. Luke, we finally made it to another game, an opportunity for fans to turn the page, get past this for homecoming this weekend. But Luke, before we even get to that, sounds like you had an eventful evening.
I've had an eventful evening. As you know, for the next short bit, I am a single parent. My wife is gallivanting in Western Europe for a while, traveling. And yeah, so tonight was the Dinkytown Athletes beer launch, right? And I had to be there, so I brought my boys with. We ran into Andy Greeter, who reminded me that he gauged our over under for the attendance, and he said I hated that. I absolutely hated the weight of that on him.
Yeah, I know. He told me in the press box. He was well aware. So Andy, if you're listening to this now, know that our thoughts and prayers are with you with your brand new two kittens at home.
Yeah,
because I'm sure he's up in the wee hours of the morning listening to this, just like Justin Gard is as he's putting his children to bed with hopefully his Comply foam ear tips in those AirPods.
You know, we got to figure out, you know, who's starting to use Comply foam ear tips. Because like, Ryan, I'm not going to lie to you. I love mine. And my wife, when she was getting on her flight, she's like, I'm so excited I can wear my earbuds like on the airplane and not just have to use my over the air or over the ear ones. So yeah, pretty awesome.
So going back to Dinkytown Athletes beer launch, for those of you who haven't seen or been on social media, I think Luke and I'll try to give the gist and we'll get into it a little bit with Derek as he makes his triumphant return to the podcast for good or for worse.
Yeah.
On Sunday, as we get into this Louisiana game. But I think the TLDR of the launch is this. It's going to be in which liquor stores, Luke, immediately?
So there are a couple on campus. One is Big Ten. One's called like Big Ten, and I can't remember the
Top
name.
Top Ten. Which
Top
is
Ten.
Across the street from the football complex in that giant monstrosity of an apartment comp. It's
new, isn't it?
If you know where the old McDonald's was,
yes,
it's just over there. South of that,
yep.
I think.
There's that, and there's another one on campus. I've seen some people on Twitter and stuff saying that they've seen it in their liquor stores, or they've called, and they're going to carry it. They're doing this beer in partnership with Grey Duck Vodka or Grey Duck Spirits, I should say. You probably
Which
know
is
them.
Funny to me because obviously, who is the founder of Grey Duck?
Well, I know Chad Greenway is associated with it, and he's
Correct.
An Iowa Hawkeye.
Correct.
But I also know there are like three other guys. I don't know the relationship here well, but yeah, I mean, the irony that a Hawkeye is now supporting Gopher Sports, that's awesome.
Good for him.
Love him.
Turn the cheek. We love that for him. So you can get it a couple spots on campus. If you're going to a Gopher football game, say this weekend for homecoming, guess what? You can buy a can within the stadium, Lou.
Yeah, you can. Ryan, I have to tell you something.
I'm scared.
At the event, I tried the beer, and it was pretty good.
So it is a light lager, I believe. So it's light beer. It's not an IPA, a triple hazy, a sour. It's a light beer.
It's up your alley. I'm telling you, man, it's up your alley.
But they also have a seltzer pack. So if you're a fan of the Grey Duck seltzers as well, find the one that has DTA on it. I think it's called Duck Duck something, right, Luke?
Yeah, it's they do have packs for sure that with seltzer, and I think it's just their regular seltzers. I don't think it's an exclusive seltzer, but it's a pack, like a family pack. You can check that out. And
yeah, on the outside it says Dinkytown Athletes Fan Pack. It's and then the beer is called Duck Duck Beer, so it's an American light lager. And for those wondering, well, how if I buy one of these beers, how much actually goes directly towards Dinkytown Athletes? 20% of the revenue.
Yeah, hold on. Of the revenue, not the profit of the beer, of the revenue of the beer. This is
correct.
That's awesome. Like, it's awesome that it's going to Dinkytown Athletes, and it's definitely going to move the needle. And, you know, one, you can move the needle by being a member, but you can also move the needle by now buying beer for your tailgate or If you're a college student, who knows what you do with beer?
I'm with you. So again, 20% of the revenue from the beer and the seltzer sales will go directly to Dinky Town athletes. So it's an easy way to where if you're going to go to the game this weekend, guess what? Go get a parlor burger, finish it off with a Duck Duck beer, and all knowing that your money will be going to the Darius Taylor Fund, among others, for this football
team. Your website, like I love your work, Ryan. I do. But I
you
have
say that and you haven't even read me in years.
No.
This is just like on Gleeman and the Geek when Bonus hasn't read a single thing that Gleeman writes. You haven't read a single thing I've written in years. You've told me that.
I go through stretches where I don't read it. Your GIF rewinds though. I remember when you started at Scout pre 247. Those things are great. And I have been reading them more often this year.
I'm so blessed.
I have been. I will tell you this, your message board, like it has
after back to back losses,
it has is to a very induce
fragile place.
It has to induce like so much anxiety for some people because the emotions both high and low, or the swing is just massive. So I avoid it after losses, in some part because I think sometimes objectivity is lost. But I love your community. I think there are some great people. I saw some of them tonight at the Dinky Town Athletes pre-launch event. So nice to shake hands with people, high fives, and just, man, there are some wonderful, wonderful Gopher fans that you can meet through Gopher Illustrated. So if you're not a member, join there as well. It's totally worth it.
All right. So just to summarize one more time, Dinky Town Athletes launching with Grey Duck, having Duck Duck beer at the stadium. If you want
great
to
great name
have it,
for a beer, great name for a beer, right?
I agree.
Great.
Yeah. And so if you want to have it in your local liquor store and not have to come on campus to find it, when you go into your liquor store next, ask for it. They'll order it. And this is an easy way for Dinky Town athletes. If you're going to consume an alcoholic beverage anyway, whether of the beer or seltzer, and we'll see if something else is coming soon down the line there as well.
Yes.
Open-ended. We'll see what Derek says about that on Sunday. Make sure to ask for Duck Duck beer.
Ryan,
so you've had a big night.
Yeah, one important note, though, that we should say is if you live in the state of Minnesota, Grey Duck works with one of the largest distributors in the state. Literally, if you're in, you know, I grew up in the greater Wilmer area, ask your liquor store for Duck Duck Go. Like seriously, they can and will distribute to those locations. So make sure you're asking very locally as well. Even if you're in outstate Minnesota, this is not exclusively to the metro. I just want to make sure that's clear.
If you're going to have a light beer or you're going to have a seltzer, you might as well have 20% of the revenue go towards your favorite football team. Makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, exactly. So we do need to really talk about this football game. I know that we're both really excited about it. We spent the pre-production meeting talking about a beer. And additionally that, you know, our respective others or our respective spouses are traveling.
Yours is in Western Europe. Mine is in San Francisco. We are both single fathers at home. You to with human children, me to my four animals.
Yes. That's funny. Okay. So let's talk about this football game. Minnesota is going to play host on homecoming, a stripe out to the Cajuns, the Ragin' Cajuns of Louisiana.
Is it bad that, like, when I hear the word Ragin' Cajun, the only thing I can think of is Cajun Shore Lunch, which, do you know what that is?
I am familiar with Cajun Shore Lunch.
Which is the best shore lunch, by the way. I'm sure we have plenty of fishermen or fisherwomen listening to this.
Yeah.
The three, it's original, I think, lemon or Cajun. Cajun is always the best option, and I will fight you on this.
No, I'm with you on that. I'm a big Cajun spice person, no question. I'm definitely with you there. Yeah, it should be a beautiful day for football. 11 a.m. kick on BTN. So let's get right into kind of some injury report stuff. Obviously, the big focus of the Northwestern breakdown was the frustration around the loss and the continued, you know, whether it be the continued frustration around the conservatism of a PJ Fleck-led offensive team, or just the inability to execute. We focused a ton on that. But let's talk some injuries. Obviously, Darius Taylor wasn't in the overtime And so maybe what have you been able to find out this week, Ryan? And just give us an update generally. Obviously, Cody Lindenberg's one that we've been monitoring for far too long. Yeah, just give us some injury updates.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not going to first because I want to get into the other news that broke since we last podcast. Craig McDonald is now eligible.
Well, that is a good point. I forgot about that. Craig McDonald.
So the NCAA got back to Minnesota on their appeal and actually approved Craig McDonald's immediate eligibility waiver. So what happened was Minnesota went in with a waiver to try and get Craig eligible. And obviously, he played at Iowa State, then transferred to Auburn, then transferred to Minnesota. And I think some people are confused on why Craig's went through and others didn't. I don't pretend to know the rhyme or reason from the NCAA. I do know that Craig's waiver had more of a mental health component to it, which I think played a large part in this. But I also think it's tough that he's already missed the first four games of the season, and now he's eligible. And that's one of the things Joe Rossi talked about today. And then I really want to stress home to people, Luke, I'm not expecting Craig McDonald against Louisiana this weekend to have a big role, if a role at all.
Okay.
And that does not mean that doesn't mean I don't think he's a talented player. As Rossi laid out today, he's been practicing, but he hasn't been involved with the game plan for the first third of the season because he'd been out ineligible. Well, now they're starting to mix him in a little bit, trying to see what he's comfortable with. But they've also got a slot corner by the name of Jack Henderson playing, playing really well right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And they play the exact same position.
Right.
So I don't know if his role for at least the immediate future is just going to be on special teams, if they find a little bit different of a way to mix him in as well. But I would caution everyone expecting to see a bunch of number 21 on Saturday and Craig McDonald. I'm not expecting that, and I'm telling you not to expect it as well, as that's more or less what Joe Rossi said today too.
Yeah, and I think that's fair to set that expectation. But the nice thing that's always going to be, it's just going to be nice in general that they're going to have some more depth, Ryan, right? That is not going to hurt anything.
Yeah, especially in the secondary, you can never have enough depth. And that's where, as we shift now to the injury report, I mean, the two names that everybody wants to know, just like I do, is Darius Taylor okay, and is Cody Lindenberg ever going to play at some point during this season? I wish I had definitive answers to you. Shocking to absolutely no one, even though the lovely listeners, at least some of them, think the media doesn't ask the tough questions to the head coach. Well, sit back in that armchair recliner of yours, because we got a five-word answer when asked about Darius Taylor's injury update. It said no update. You'll see 2 hours before the game on Saturday, more or less. There's no point asking about Lindenberg at this point as well, because that's what Fleck's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. I'm more optimistic, I guess, on Darius Taylor at this point than Cody Lindenberg, just because from the sleuthing I've done a little bit behind the scenes here, sounds like Darius Taylor has at least been at practice the last couple of days and dressed, which obviously seems good for potentially his chances of playing this weekend. I don't know that same answer to that question with Cody Lindenberg, but that's where, prior to the North Carolina game, with my own two eyes from traveling to Chapel Hill, I watched Minnesota's best linebacker work out before the game before getting ruled out. Well, as someone who then went to Northwestern, with my own two eyes, I watched him not work out before the game with the other linebackers, unlike what he did the previous week. So that tells me there was probably a setback somewhere, which is awful. Yeah. I feel terrible because off tissue injuries like this, I believe it is a hamstring, are, if you know, the initial injury is what it is. And it sounds like it was probably a grade 2 strain, which means there's a slight tear. And if you have a little bit of a setback, it's almost like you got to reset the window. Now, I would love to tell you that he's going to be out there this weekend. I would be surprised if he is. But again, we're just prognosticating at this point, which sucks, because boy, does that linebacking core need Cody Lindenberg back, especially after what I think was probably the toughest game of the season so far for that linebacking crew.
Yeah, you know, again, it's the balance in gaining experience, Ryan, and also in also just trying to win games, you know, with your best players. Obviously, you never want anybody to get injured, you're getting a silver lining with getting, you know, more playing time for a Maverick Baranowski or someone. But then it's frustrating because you maybe could get better production out of a Cody Lindenberg. And he, like you said, he was expected to be a team leader. We had that interview with him in the off season. Fantastic kid, right? If you haven't listened to that, go check it out. But man, you feel for him more than anything, right? More than even the team. It's got to be just mind-numbingly frustrating for him.
100%. So those are going to be the two ones to watch. I'll have it on Twitter at least around 9 a.m. on Saturday, because I am probably the lone member of this crew, Luke, but team 11 a.m. kickoffs for the win.
I want to go on the record. I don't actually mind 11 a.m. kickoffs. I never have. I understand it it's a little frustrating for some of the tailgating people. But for me, it's kind of nice to be done by, you know, if you are going to do a tailgate, to be done by 3 o'clock and maybe you get a little bit of an evening. But I also understand not wanting to get up early. I don't mind it.
Yeah. Well, good thing you get another night game again next week, because of those of you who haven't seen it yet, the Michigan game, 6:30 p.m. kick on NBC. It is the fourth night game in the first six games for Minnesota. And from talking with the lovely Carl Anderson of the Minnesota SID department, the only other time that he could find that Minnesota's had four night games in their first, say, six games of the season, the 2020 COVID season when there wasn't even fans there. So I'd like to think, well, since the time of fans being in the stands, this is the first time there's been four night games. So in case you liked the first two night games at Huntington Bank Stadium, when the number two team in the country comes to town next weekend, you'll have ample time to prepare in the tailgating lots with some Duck Duck beer.
We are finishing up quarter number three, heading into quarter number four, if you follow the traditional quarter calendar, Ryan. And that means it's benefit season, and you might be able to elect a different benefit. And that has to do with your insurance. Why not take the time while you're looking at benefits for new elections to look at maybe a new election for your insurance benefits for your car, your home, or maybe even your commercial real estate?
Correct. And that's where the Burns Insurance Agency, owned by my father in downtown Oakdale, Minnesota, is licensed in a multitude of different states. So if you're an out-of-state listener, they're licensed in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, New York, Florida, and Utah. To Luke's point, if you think you're spending too much on your car, your home, your commercial, your UTV, your boat, whatever it may be, and you want to support a Gopher fan who is an independent insurance agent, which means he'll always put your needs first and compare you against tens, if not 20s, of different companies, check them out at insurancebyburns.com or email him today at bill@insurancebyburns.com.
All right, as we go from the injury report update and from the ad, Ryan, I do want to make one final disclaimer. I want to apologize to the listeners. My execution on the editing of last week's episode was quite poor. I forgot to delete a small bit of audio that overlapped our conversation and, frankly, probably my best point of the entire episode. So,
Well, I'm sure this week you're going to change your best for the Mekdon mentality. You're going to keep your oar in the water, keep rowing forward.
Yes.
But that's okay, because I think everybody let down themselves against Northwestern, and it appears you, Luke Buehr, are no exception.
I do try and check the GI board for the conversation of our episode and try and answer questions, and sometimes they catch things that I can fix. I couldn't fix that one, but somebody said, don't worry, this week has been kind of an execution failure all around, which that was one of my favorite comments in some time. So kudos to that listener. Okay, let's get to the preview here of this Louisiana Raging Cajuns against your University of Minnesota Golden Gophers. So when the Gophers are on offense, they this season are averaging 341 341 yards of total offense, 149 through the air, and 191 on the ground. The Ragin' Cajuns are giving up 337 yards of total offense, 208 through the air, and 129 on the ground, Ryan. So what do you expect to see from this Gopher offense that had glimpses of showing, you know, some better aerial attack against this Ragin' Cajun defense?
It's interesting to kind of dig into Louisiana just in general, because they're much better than whatever the listener think they are. This is a team that is 3-1 on the season, lost a game to Old Dominion, which they probably shouldn't have lost. And you look at within the record, and I get it, they're 3-1, but their combined opponent's record is 3-12. So they really haven't beaten anybody, but this defense presents a lot of challenges, especially for a young quarterback, because they're multiple. What does that mean? That means they're primarily a three-down lineman team, a.k.a. a 3-3-5, a 3-5-3, but they also do play four-down at times, like a 4-3. They alternate looks to try and make the quarterback uncomfortable, force errant throws, force the offensive line to maybe not understand what they need to block versus what's actually in front of them. And that's the difficult part, is the last couple of weeks, North Carolina and Northwestern were four-down teams. 4-3s. Well, this week you're going to see anything from a 3-4 to a 3-3-5 to a 4-3. And I think that's going to present some challenges for Minnesota up front. Now, they are a Sun Belt team, and means that I'd say they're probably a little on the smaller end in terms of poundage, but they are twitched up. They are number one in college football in sacks through the first 4 weeks of the season. They have 18 of them. So it's going to be a challenge for Minnesota to keep Ethan upright, but I will say this. When you look at our favorite friend of the program, Parker Fleming, at Stats of War on Twitter, you look at his advanced stats preview of this game, the Ragin' Cajun defense does not perform well in EPA, especially defensively. They are 92nd in the country in terms of EPA allowed per pass, and they're 121st in the country in EPA per rush.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be opportunities for Minnesota to score points in this game, which is why the line is as big as it is, with Minnesota being an 11-point home favorite. But I think there's going to be opportunities for Minnesota in this game to score points. It's going to come down to if Darius Taylor is healthy, well, how many carries do they put on him? And, oh, by the way, I'm glad you asked, Luke. When Greg Harbaugh, the offensive coordinator from Minnesota, was at the podium today, I looked at him square in the eyes, looked into the depths of his soul, and asked the question that I get more than anyone else. What has to happen for non-Darius Taylor running backs to get carries?
To get carries? It's a very reasonable question, Ryan. It's one that I am glad you asked. I have wondered myself. Can you summarize his thoughts?
I'd rather just kind of read it verbatim.
That's fine.
If you're cool with that.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I asked him that. He goes, practice and preparation, same thing I went into with Ethan last week, just seeing that development through practice, and that goes for every single position. He lists off Bryce Williams and what he does well, says Zach Evans is continuing to get better every day. With Sean Tyler's disappearance, he says, Sean Tyler, you guys saw the struggles he had against Eastern Michigan. He's put that behind him. He's gotten better every single day, and that's been the thing. If you see our practices, you see that guys are continuing to get better every single day. But I think as I skip further down the quote, what stood out to me is this. We know as we go further into the year, you need a number of backs that can step up and play. Hooray! They have figured out that it can't be Braylon Allen getting 55 carries every single week. And that's been the message to those guys from the running back coach, Nick McKissick-Luke. Who is going to be the next guy to step up? Who is going to be the guy that can take the load off Darius when he's tired? We have to continue to develop that room and get them better. Now, if you've listened to this podcast for years or if this is your first time, welcome, tell a friend. But you also know that I love to say the old adage that my father once told me, and it applies so perfectly to PJ Fleck and this staff. I hear what you say, but I trust what you do. I hear that you say you know you need to mix in more backs, and then I go back and I watch Darius Taylor get 31 carries and then Bryce Williams in overtime. Peace and love to Bryce Williams, and he's a great kid, but I went back and looked, Luke, he hasn't broken a tackle in any of his last five games. That's an issue,
yep.
Especially if you're going to be leaning on him in overtime. So I'm hoping that this week against Louisiana, regardless of Darius Taylor's status, that Minnesota is able to give Sean Tyler and find wherever the bones are buried on Zach Evans.
Ryan, as you know, my wife is traveling. She's in Western Europe. And honest to goodness, she said, hey, I need to get those earbud tips on my AirPods because I don't want to always have to wear my over-ear headphones on the airplane, but maybe more importantly, as she might be doing a tour. And I'm telling you, man, having a local product that you can put on and is more comfortable to make your AirPods even better at noise cancellation, that's really a game changer.
Supporting a local company like Comply Foam is, they're based out of Oakdale, Minnesota. They're supporting us, and they're so you, the Gopher fan, with getting this content to you. Luke and I have sworn by it. It eliminates ear pain, these Comply memory foam tips. I can wear these earbuds for hours. For Luke and his wife, it's AirPods. For me and my wife, it's Beat Air Pros. Whether it is Apple, whether it is Beats, whatever brand you may have, we encourage you to go to complyfoam.com. Find whatever earbud tips work with whatever you have for that purchase that you made. At checkout, promo code GG, as in Gopher Gridiron, 23, GG23. At checkout, get 20% off your first order. You've spent a lot of money to get these Apple, you know, earbuds Pro. Now take care of them with memory foam tips that allow you to keep them in your ear longer, and they actually fit your ear canal. So complyfoam.com, and when at checkout, save 20% off your order with promo code GG23.
All right, let's take a look when the Gophers are on defense. Ryan, the Ragin' Cajuns are averaging 478 yards of total offense, 241 through the air, and 237 on the ground. The Gophers, conversely, are giving up 364 yards of total offense, 249 through the air, and 114 on the ground. Holy cats. That is a lot of yards for the Ragin' Cajuns. And we know the Gophers have struggled with explosive plays in the last two games. So tell me, how are the Gophers going to hold this Ragin' Cajun offense under wraps?
Oh, man, they're really good on the ground. And they're even better with their backup quarterback. And I believe he is called Zion Chris. Someone that has started for them the last two games. The starter went down, and Chris has stepped in. And all he's done, Luke, is run for 176 yards and four touchdowns, along with completing 73% of his passes last week. And this is an offense that is very good on the ground. And specifically, I think the matchup maybe to watch in this game is Louisiana on first and second down versus Minnesota's defense on first and second down. Why do I say that? Well, part of what makes Louisiana's offense so good and why they've scored 31 or more points in each of their first four games, they're really good on first and second down. Their early down expected points added, again, thanks to Stats of War, Mr. Parker Fleming on Twitter, ranks seventh in the country. They're the seventh best team on early downs in terms of EPA. Minnesota, on the flip side, is dead average defensively at 64th. And that's something that Joe Rossi, Minnesota's defensive coordinator, talked about today, is for Minnesota in this game, they want to do what they always try and do. That's stop the run, and that's limit explosive plays. Well, I think they've done a pretty good job throughout the season of stopping the run, but I would tell you this, it's certainly going to be put to the test against what is a really good running offense. They've got a couple of running backs that are averaging over 9 yards per carry, and I believe both of them have over 30 carries on the season. So it's going to be a big week, and that's something Tyler Newbin, Minnesota's star safety, talked about with the media today as well, is if I heard him say it once, I heard him say it 100 times. We need to just get back to being us, and that's been a big point of emphasis along with play the situation within the play. So for Minnesota, Luke, they're going to have to shut down the run. This is a base shotgun team, I'd say 11 personnel, and they really want to get you moving. That's what a Sun Belt offense does, more or less. They want to attack you at the edges, so it's going to be crucial for Minnesota in this game to set an edge with whether that's the defensive end, the outside linebacker, the corner, the safety, and they have to tackle well because this is a Louisiana team that is very twitched up, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
All right, so to kind of quantify at least Louisiana Lafayette, and through four games, Ryan, they have 58 explosive play, or they have 58 explosive plays. 24 of those are greater than 20 yards. As a Gopher fan, I think we'd envy this. 13 are greater than 30 yards. 8 are greater than 40, and 6 are greater than 50 yards. It goes on. They literally have plays of both 70 and 80 yards. Wouldn't that be fun to watch?
Yeah, one day it'll happen for this Gopher offense, but the thing that gives me pause is you look at those plus 30, plus 40, plus 50-yard plays for that Louisiana offense. That number of explosives puts them top 20 in the entire country in those regards. So they have shown a propensity that if they get open space, they have a propensity to make it not just a 20-yard game, but they could potentially house it. It's something Minnesota's got to be well aware of going to this game on Saturday.
Again, real excited to be promoting Team Dinkytown Realty Group. You can find them at teamdinkytown.com. Ryan, we already talked about they sold their first house, and you know the 1% of the sale price went to Dinkytown team or went to Dinkytown athletes. I think also more importantly, they want to work with former Gopher athletes. So if you are a former Gopher athlete and you're looking to get into real estate, you can reach out and work with them. But most importantly, if you want to make an impact on NIL, but you maybe don't have the cash, the expendable cash that you want to be donating in the form of a membership, this is another way that you can do that. It's just an awesome way, you know, to make a big sizable donation to Gopher Sports and also, you know, get a good representation that is very experienced in realty, Ryan. So if you're looking to buy or sell your home, please go to teamdinkytown.com. Okay, let's get to the facts and figures for this game, Ryan. Again, this is a 11 a.m. kickoff. It will be on BTN on the 30th of September. Ryan, you really probably want to be deer hunting, but that's not going to be the case. It looks like it's going to be a pretty nice morning. Looks like around kickoff, maybe around, you know, low 60s. Sounds like a beautiful day maybe that you could be deer hunting, but you'll be covering a football game.
Well, thanks for asking, number one. I went out deer hunting for the first time tonight, and it was good to be back in the woods. But let me tell you, I am so sick and tired of south or southeast or east winds. It's been two straight weeks of that. And you look at the long-range forecast, especially for this game, looks like it's going to be like 82 degrees by the time people leave the stadium. So it's going to be a beautiful fall day. But I am so sick and tired of south, southeast, or east winds. And we have another 2 weeks of it going to the early part of October. I am just beside myself that I can't get a single cold front. And I'm sure those of you that are duck hunters are also feeling my pain because, yeah, you probably had a great first opening weekend of Minnesota Duck and Goose. Well, guess what? All those local ducks you pounded, they're going to be there next weekend because there's not a single cold front to bring them down from Canada. Thank you for coming to my hunting TED Talk.
I should also mention, I looked at a different weather model, and I don't trust the one I looked at before. It's going to be like seven. It's going to be like 75 almost during kickoff up to
it's
like.
It's going
to
be a gorgeous day.
Yeah,
for homecoming.
No kidding.
So if you were on the fence or your friend was on the fence because you didn't know what the weather was going to be, tell them it's going to be in the 70s during the game. It's going to be beautiful, clear skies. Should be a great Saturday in the fall.
All right. Additionally, we need to look at the line for this game. We should mention, Ryan, that this has actually moved quite a bit since it initially came out. Currently, as I see it, it's 48.5 for the over-under, and Minnesota is favored by 11, which I know you were a little bit surprised the spread is that far.
I ain't taking that spread. Now, if you have the gall to take Minnesota as 11-point home favorites here, I envy you, especially if it hits. But recency bias is a thing. And I look at this Louisiana team, and I think they're going to give Minnesota problems. So I am a little surprised that here we are late in the week now, and that line is still at 11. I understand they're a Sun Belt team. I understand Minnesota, contrary to what many people think right now, is a competent Big Ten team as well. I just am surprised that the line isn't a little bit smaller, I would say.
Yeah, I think it would feel a lot better to me if it was more like a touchdown or 6 points, but not 11. 11 feels like a stretch in some ways.
Well, it's a good thing that you and I are schmoes, and Vegas has a lot of beautiful brand new places out there, and they don't get them by losing money. So it's going to be interesting. But yeah, as we sit here tonight, the line is at 11 points as all right, the Gophers for home favorites.
All right, let's make sure that we get your keys to the game before we get predictions, Ryan. So, what do you got?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not going to be incredibly football savvy, but the number one thing I want to see from Minnesota's offense, make it two straight weeks with explosive plays. Because after not generating an explosive play of over 30 yards during the first three games of the season, Minnesota's offense put up four different plays in Evanston of 25 yards or more, including two of over 40 or more. Who knew that was legal for this Gopher offense? And on a drive where Minnesota had one of those 25 or longer plays, they scored points on each one of those drives. It's almost like why I continue to harp week after week that explosive plays are the most significant indicator of generating points. And so when you look at this Louisiana team this weekend, they're 3-1 so far, and they're expected to compete for their conference title. And what they do really well, I mentioned it earlier, generate pressure. They are number one or tied for number one in college football in sacks. They have 18 through the first 4 weeks of the season. I would tell you it's not just one guy, as they've got a collective defensive effort. They've got 8 players with 5 or more pressures, but their best pass rusher, according to Pro Football Focus, is a young man by the name of Cameron Whitfield, who will be an edge player for them, leads them with 13 pressures. They've also got a really, really good outside linebacker by the name of Kendry Gant. He is the highest graded player on defense for them with an 86.4 overall grade. For those of you who are new and don't know the Pro Football Focus scale, a 60.0 is dead average. So an 86 grade is in the elite category. But even with all that being said, I mentioned it as well. They've got their warts. They rank 109th in expected points added on defense. And going against the four teams that they didn't exactly play a gauntlet like Minnesota has at times. Their opponent's combined record thus far is 3-12. Now, specifically against the rush, they rank 121st in EPA allowed and 92nd allowed via the pass. So the question to me is this: how does this offense continue to evolve, especially if star freshman tailback Darius Taylor is out or limited? If Taylor plays, we'll see if he can continue that hot streak, as he is the reigning 3-time Big Ten Freshman of the Week. I'll remind you, he has averaged 178 yards on the ground in each of his last three games. And for those wondering, the freshman rushing record is held by Gopher great Darryl Thompson with his 1,376 rushing yards. So if Taylor is going to eclipse that mark following the Wisconsin game, he's got to continue to average about 105 yards on the ground over his next 8 games. But I also want to see if Greg Harbaugh adds more to the plate of Ethan Calley-McManus on Saturday. The picture is going to be changing quite a bit for him pre-snap versus post-snap. I mentioned it earlier, this Louisiana defense is very much multiple. You'll see 3-3-5, 3-2-6, 3-5-3, 3-4-4-3. And this is where he's coming off his best week as a Gopher passer. He completed 73% of his passes. Highest graded game for him overall since he's become the starter. And I believe this will be his 10th start of his career. So there's going to be plays to be made, but they got to keep the quarterback upright, and they got to figure out life at tailback, especially if Darius Taylor isn't there. So I'd love to tell you that we're going to see Sean Tyler or Zach Evans get an opportunity this weekend to prove themselves, because as I mentioned, I know Bryce Williams returned last week. I know everybody likes to hang on to the 2018 Wisconsin game where he had 2 touchdowns, and that was great. but according to Pro Football Focus, he has not broken a single tackle in any of his previous five games. So let's see it. Can explosive plays be generated just like they were again last week? Now, defensively, Luke, let's keep it even more simpler. Get back to not allowing explosive plays on defense.
It's like there's a theme to this keys to your game, Ryan, and it has to do with explosive plays.
Yeah, it's almost like after not allowing 20 or more points in the previous eight games before North Carolina, the Gophers have allowed 30 or more points in back-to-back contests. So what changed? Huh. Well, let me think. The pass defense has been absolutely brutal. Now, I understand that Drake May does that to a lot of people. But when Ben Bryant throws for 396 yards and four touchdowns, that's inexcusable and it's unacceptable. In Ben Bryant's first three games, he threw for 408 yards total combined. And last week alone, he nearly hit that in one game. So how does that happen? Well, the Gopher defense allowing nine completions of 15 or more yards, yeah, that doesn't help. And five of those came in that fourth quarter collapse. It's incredibly difficult for a collegiate offense to score points when they don't generate explosive plays. So that's what Minnesota's defense needs to get back to. Now, that's not going to be easy because Louisiana's offense has yet to score under 31 points in any of their four games. How have they been so proficient? I'm glad Luke Buehr was thinking about it because I'm going to tell him right now. Prolific rushers. They have three players on offense for the Louisiana Raging Cajuns with PFF rushing grades of over 80. That includes their starting quarterback, Zion Chris. Took over 2 weeks ago, and he is really good at getting yards with his legs. They'll do some quarterback design run stuff, but he's also run for 173 yards and four scores in his last eight quarters. And oh, by the way, he's completing 73% of his passes. Now, I will say he's still young. What does that mean? Well, other than the obvious, he's mistake prone at times. He has five turnover-worthy plays via Pro Football Focus in his last two games. So Louisiana is led by their two outstanding running backs as well, and Jacob Cabote and Draylen Washington, who are averaging a gaudy 9.4 and 9.1 yards per carry, respectively. This Louisiana rushing offense ranks fourth in college football at 238 yards per game. And within that, they rank fifth out of 133 FBS teams at 6.26 yards per carry. So let's recap. If Minnesota is going to get back to their old ways, they got to do something they've done pretty well the last 2 weeks. Stop the rushing attack.
Right.
Well, through the air, Louisiana's got five different receivers with 14 or more targets, but they have none over 19. So they have five different pass catchers, somewhere between 14 and 19 targets. So I would say, well, I'll call it a spread it around type of passing offense. But the reality for this is it's simple. Minnesota's got to get back to the principles of a Joe Rossi defense that's tackling well and not trying to do too much. Just do your job. But these linebackers are going to be tested because there's going to be misdirection. There's going to be attacking the edges, and it's going to have to be a big day from not only Maverick Baranowski, but Devin Williams and Ryan Selig instead. And then finally, Luke, I'm going to get off my explosive plays rant to tell you my last key to the game. Actually play 60 minutes of complimentary football. Because how does one blow a 21-point fourth quarter lead? That would be a complete systems failure on offense, defense, and special teams. Well, Ryan, how do you ensure that that doesn't happen again this weekend at homecoming? Well, let me give you some tips, PJ. On offense, keep the foot on the gas pedal for all 60 minutes, not just the first two quarters, not just the first three quarters, but all four. On defense, stop allowing explosive plays. The defensive line has to do a better job of getting consistent pressure. And within that, not getting too deep on your rush to allow a very mobile Louisiana quarterback to escape the pocket. The linebackers are going to have to play much better, and that includes tackling well in space and actually getting to where they're supposed to in their drops and coverage. And the secondary has just got to be on the same page with what the coverage is and to do their job. Special teams, Dragan Kesich has been outstanding. I'm not going to be one to tell you otherwise. 9 of 10 on the season with his only miss being from 50 plus, he's been outstanding. But I'm looking at the punt game last week. Both punts in the final 6 minutes of the game resulted in a touchback. And unless you're Luke Buehr and enjoy a sultry 26.5 yards of net yards per punt on those two attempts, I don't know what to tell you. I've been told that I talk about the return game too much and that those stats don't matter. But let me just tell you this. If you're okay with the return game, even though they have seemingly waved the white flag 4 games into the season, okay. So play 60 minutes of complimentary football on offense, defense, and special teams, and you're going to have a chance to make a lot of people happy on homecoming.
All right, so let's get to this preview. We should review where we're at so far this year, Ryan. On the season, you are 2-2 on the over-under, and you are 2-2 against the spread. I am 2-2 on the over-under and 1-3 against the spread. In the preview edition for the full season, you picked the Gophers to win this game 27-17, and I picked 31-17. A reminder that the current spread for this game is minus 11 for the Gophers, and the over-under is 48. So,
I went first last week. That means you got to go first this week.
Yeah, that's fair. So the rushing does, you know, their rushing success gives me concern, especially with the younger linebackers. And we haven't seen great, we haven't seen a lot of great play from our linebackers so far this season. They obviously missed Lindenberg. That does give me some concern. I think ultimately the Gophers will find a way. I'm not sure what the game's going to look like, Ryan, but I'll pick the Gophers. I'll go 24-17.
So you're taking an under.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to pick an under because I'm at a point with Rossi's defense where I need to see it to believe it. One of the things Joe Rossi loves to talk about in his weekly press conferences, which you can always read on Gopher Illustrated for free, is they have to play to the capabilities of this year's defense. But I think I'm starting to figure out that this year's defense might not be what we've seen in terms of consistency and playmaking ability compared to the last few defenses. Now, why is that? It could be a whole different discussion that maybe we table for when Derek gets here on Sunday. But this is an offense that I think is going to give Minnesota struggles defensively, because I need to see it from these linebackers. I need to see it from Maverick Baranowski and Devin Williams and Ryan Seelig. Playing a ton of snaps. They're playing without Cody Lindenberg. I understand that Maverick and Devin are going to be in their fifth career game as the starter. I understand that Ryan Seelig is in his fifth career game in Joe Rossi's scheme. But it's starting to feel like more of an excuse at this point. They're going to have to play really well in this game. There's going to be a lot of misdirection. There's going to be a lot of different things that go into that. And they're going to have to, I mean, really figure out how to get this potent rushing attack for Louisiana on the ground. So where I'm at is Minnesota 27. I'm going to say they win this game. Louisiana 24. That is an over. That is a Louisiana cover. But we've seen historically after a bad loss, say the 2021 Bowling Green season, Fleck-led teams have responded. In that specific season in 2021, after they lost to Bowling Green, they ran off 4 straight Big Ten victories. I know it's not pretty at times, but it's going to be a gorgeous late September day, and the Gophers do enough to get that win. So I'll repeat it once again. I'm going to take an over with Minnesota winning the ball game 27-24.
All right, tonight I was at the Dinkytown Athletes, pre-tasting for the beer, Ryan. Number of home field apparel shirts. Got a couple high fives from some people, a couple sweatshirts. I saw people using the GG23 promo code. I think it's working, man. This is some great gear, very comfortable, and just some style and designs. I have to imagine the people are happy with the product. I know you and I are.
100%. Again, it's unique college apparel. Stuff that you're not going to see at Goldie's Locker Room, stuff that's only unique to home field apparel, stuff that if you're a Gopher basketball fan, they've got vintage stuff. If you're a Gopher hockey, they've got vintage stuff. And Luke and I continue to swear by the quality of it. It's stuff that your significant other will take and sleep with. So go to homefieldapparel.com. Find what you want. There's plenty of it. Maroon, gold, gray, white, whatever it may be. When you get the checkout, promo code GG23, save 15% off your first order. That is homefieldapparel.com. 15% off your first order with promo code GG23.
All right, let's get to previewing some of the Big Ten. One thing that is interesting, we got some bye weeks this week, Ryan. Only 7 games. How nice. Also,
this only one 6:30 p.m. game, Luke, after 4 last week. I'm not bitter at all. You're right.
Here's my favorite thing. When I first saw the schedule, the first thing that popped out to me was, oh my goodness, there's 2 games on Peacock. But actually, the Michigan State and Iowa game is both on NBC and Peacock. So don't get...
I'm sure NBC executives are thrilled to have a fired Mel Tucker now.
Yeah.
And that corpse of a team who just got... I think they were on NBC last week, and they just got boat raced by Maryland.
Yeah.
And now they get to take on this Iowa Hawkeye team once again on NBC.
Yeah. Wonderful. Again, all of these games are on Saturday, the 30th of September. So let's start with the 11 o'clock games. We already talked about Minnesota and Louisiana. So we'll talk about number 6, Penn State, traveling to Ryan Field. Ryan, this game, again, 11 a.m. kick. The over-under is 46, and Penn State is favored by 27.
My favorite part of this game was a tweet that came out this afternoon from James Franklin. Luke, you're going to laugh when I say this, and as are you, the listener. James Franklin went on public record and said the following. They are practicing in dead silence because they're going to Ryan Field. And I thought to myself, my God, you are a savage.
But that is savage.
It is. As someone who was just there last week for one of Justin Gard's favorite night games, there was no one there. Dozens of fans, count them, dozens of fans stormed the field. Afterwards, the atmosphere there sucks.
Yeah.
So I'm glad James Franklin said the quiet part out loud, but practicing in dead silence must be a new experience for a Penn State team coming off a whiteout.
Yeah, no kidding. It will be interesting to see how Northwestern bounces back after the win against the Gophers. I don't expect them to win this game, but curious to see how they play against, you know, one of the top rated teams in the country. I'd say arguably the second best team in the conference.
I'll say something around 31-10 would be my guess.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. It'll be interesting to definitely follow. Michigan is going to Lincoln, and this will be a 2:30 kick on Fox. The over-under is 39, with Michigan favored by 17.
So something around 27-10, more or less, is what Vegas is thinking. Minnesota's next opponent after this, the Michigan Wolverines. So J.J. McCarthy has been a little bit off, I would say, the last couple of weeks. How does he look against that Nebraska defense that Luke and I think is at least above average? Now, I think Michigan's going to make a lot of people look not at their best is what I'll say, but I want to see if this Nebraska team that has now won a couple of games, can they bow up a little bit? Is this also the return of Jeff Sims for this game? And if it is, can he hold on to the football at any point?
Yeah. Hold on to the football is definitely the thing to watch with Jeff Sims. Another 2:30 game on BTN features Indiana traveling to Maryland. Maryland, you have to think at this point at 4-0 and 1-0 in conference, this one probably isn't going to move the needle enough, but this team probably, you know, is worthy of at least consideration of being ranked. Indiana, you know, could pull a massive upset, but
that's what you're pulling for. If Tom Allen's going to keep his job here by Halloween,
we're still tracking this one close. The over under for this one is 50, with Maryland favored by 14.5.
I mean, I want to see if Maryland comes out a little slow here. And why I say that is, are they looking like too far forward to Ohio State next week? Indiana is Indiana. They're not a very good football team. It just took him 4 overtimes to beat Akron. So does Mike Locksley have his team ready to be here? I'm surprised the line's only 14, considering the two states of both of those programs. But I think maybe that Vegas is thinking a little bit that I am, that maybe Maryland looks a little bit too far ahead and isn't going to be able to blow out this Indiana team.
All right. So I know how much you love Narrative Street, Ryan. And unfortunately, it's going to be buried at this 2:30 kick on Peacock. Because the Illinois Fighting Illini are playing the Purdue Boilermakers. You know, again, a Big Ten West game that isn't probably going to have important implications, like actually all of them do in the Big Ten West, eventually as who's champion. This is a 54 over under, and it is currently an even line.
So it's a pick 'em as Ryan Walters gets to host his old team in Illinois. This is probably the most interesting game of all the games in the Big Ten this weekend to me. Is Illinois for real? Is Purdue just having tough luck, being having a 1-3 start? What does Illinois look like against what, I mean, is thought of to at least be a competent type of team in the West? But as we've learned so far through the first, let's say, third of the season, no one in the West is good. I know that maybe Wisconsin and Iowa fans don't agree with that statement, but I think this game is going to be very Big Ten Westy, where stupid turnovers, weird special teams plays. I'm very curious to see, though. That, I mean, with this game being in West Lafayette, I almost want to say 55-45 type of Purdue scenario there with them winning the game, but I'm sure this one will be out of the press box.
All right, Rutgers 3-1 plays host to the Wagner Seahawks. I gotta imagine that this is gonna be a blowout. This is an FCS school. There is no line for this game. You know, Wagner is 2-2 on the season. They have losses to Navy. The rest of them, I don't know. Fordham. The wins gotten much. I don't got much. So, you know, the Gophers East should find their way to a fourth win. They just got to find two more to be bowl eligible.
Yeah, Minnesota East, I would imagine, is going to rebound in this type of scenario where Joe Harris-Simiak is going to get that defense right. Kirk Shiraka is going to run the football, RTB, even in Rutgers. And this is going to be something not fun, not great. I'd say somewhere around 31-7.
All right. I am actually pretty curious about this game. I know that Michigan State's in a bad spot, having Mel Tucker gone. You know, a number of guys may or may not have, you know, pushed or pressed the brake on this season, Ryan, and tried to pause and, you know, punt for the next year, and will probably be entering the transfer portal soon because of Mel Tucker being fired. But, you know, Iowa is playing host to Michigan State. The over-under for this one is 36.5, with Iowa favored by 12.5. But I am curious to see what Iowa's offense can do in this game, as they have struggled thus far this season.
Night games at Kinnick are very tough, historically, for any opponent. But to your point, I don't know that we're going to find out until 2 hours before kick, if not kickoff, what Michigan State players have just decided they're going to redshirt now, because it's all but official that Mel Tucker is going to be fired. So they want to maintain their eligibility, which means they're going to have to redshirt, which means they only can play in four games. And with that transfer window likely opening as soon as next week, potentially, how many guys play? Which guys play? Which ones don't? And to me, there's just too much turmoil to think that Michigan State can pull off a game like this, even with how incompetent this Iowa offense is, even by their standards. But certainly Phil Parker at night, it's not usually sailor's delight, let me tell you.
I thought for sure, Ryan, that you would have the utmost confidence in former Gopher offense coordinator Jay Johnson, but apparently not. Man, again, fun to break down this upcoming game against Louisiana Lafayette. Should be fun with homecoming, beautiful day. I imagine many people weren't planning to be able to wear a t-shirt and shorts to a 11 a.m. football game, but I think that's totally reasonable. Just a beautiful day for football, Ryan.
100%. If you're there before the game, say a couple hours before time, and you want to come yell at me and Justin Gard, I'll be over in between Mariucci and the stadium doing my KFAN radio bit about 9:40 in the morning. So come heckle me. Tell me how much of a face for radio I got. But it should be a beautiful weekend, and hopefully the Gophers don't spoil homecoming. but this is a very much competent Louisiana team.
Yeah. Again, thank you all for listening. Hope you have a wonderful homecoming, and go Gophers.